The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Sovereign Minds.
Good morning.
Well, we have a special guest in the room with us today. Before we get started, today is June 11th, Sunday once again. My name is Mark Kent. I'm your host here for Sovereign Mind Radio. I'm here in the great state of Jefferson without my sister Linda, who is out on assignment. And I'm not sure what happened to the kid that rocks around the clock. Oh, he's just now stepping in. So he hasn't mic'd up yet. But I have him in the studio with me, Terry Raposa. We're going to hold him over for a little bit and talk about some of the things that have happened this week. This week was crazy news-wise. I mean, it was just so much to try to, what story do you go after? But we're brought to you by Julie Foster, Allstate Insurance Agents, down there in Red Bluff at 810 Main Street, 530-527-5534. She'll take care of all your insurance needs. Luke Pearson Construction, Homes and Excavating. He's licensed and bonded at 530-605-9575. Crack Masters, Jeff Wurst. Linda usually has the spot on that. Anyway, go down to Crack Masters. Jeff will take care of you. He's a great guy. I was seeing him this last week. Shout out to Marty McGill, Clear Creek Microgreens, MountaintopMedia.com. We have some big things going on there this week. We're rolling out a new website. We're rolling out a new web page for Sovereign Minds. And we got internet radio coming up. There's a ton of stuff going on. It's actually pretty exciting. And also, got to give my shout out to Big O Tires, Jay and the gang over there. They've been great guys over there. Helped me a lot with my tires and stellar job, stellar performance. We have announcements. Join us for dinner June 22nd at 2023 at the Larry Farr Community Center in Shasta Lake at 4499 Main Street. 5 o'clock social hour, 6 o'clock dinner. And this is for the GWUSD Say No to the Recall. And this is about the recall out there of the people on the school board there.
Lindsay Haynes.
Thank you.
And Eli Haynes.
And Eli Haynes. Thank you. I was having a freaking brain fart here. It's like, you know what it is? Is that when I get up on Sunday morning, and I started last night, I pack so much information into my head in such a short amount of time that I'm trying to figure out and decide which information is going to be the best information I talked to Lindsay like 3 or 4 days ago. I can't even remember her name. You know?
Yes, it's so hard right now. What's relevant? What can we fit into 2 hours when there's so much?
That would be Dave. Super Dave Internet there. He's almost up and running. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying is that we're packing so much crap. I mean, when I think Kiyosaki, Robert Kiyosaki, coined the information age as opposed to the industrial age, what he was talking about, there's going to be so much information out there that trying to figure out what's good information from what's bad information as opposed to just a stream of information that's packing into your brain that's useless, you know, and you're having to sort through that and sort it out and all that stuff. What a freaking crazy world we're living in here in this this new wave of internet I mean, it's like the Matrix.
Well, and this has gotten to the point to where it's insane. So I've been running a lot of these large language models, which are the offline equivalent that you can run on your computer if you have a powerful enough GPU. Well, for instance, there was an uncensored model that came out not so long ago that was 7 billion parameters is what it was trained on. And so that's already a huge language model. But here's the interesting thing. It took 4 days for there to be a 13 billion parameter language model. That's almost a doubling in four days.
I could learn that in a couple hours. What the hell?
And it's what we're seeing right now is now we have technology that can create video. And, in fact, one of the big things on this stuff, too, what can you see? What is real? What is not?
Well, that's where I was headed. I mean, good grief. I mean, how are we supposed to know what's real anymore? They can fake everything so well.
Did you see what happened with DeSantis?
No, I missed that one.
Okay, so DeSantis had actually ended up putting out a commercial that used deep fakes of Trump hugging Fauci. And
wow.
Yeah, and half the commercial utilized these deep fakes. And I don't know if it was DeSantis directly, if he was there, but if it was something to where his staff clearly ended up utilizing deep fakes and being able to produce these images of him hugging Fauci that didn't exist.
Wow. So let's table that. I've got Terry in here, and I wanted to hold him over. Good morning, Terry. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I think that what we have to do really is right now, if you heard the last show, Mark Baird has announced.
I did. I heard most of all of it. Yeah. He's announced his candidacy
for Senate for District 1.
Right.
We're going to have other people stepping forward and being candidates. And I think there's a lot of things that we look at. Like you said, Mark, we're on information overload.
Yeah.
I mean, there's all this stuff we can talk about, and this is going on, that's going on, to the point of where people are pulling their eyelashes out, and there's nothing they can control
at
or really
nauseam,
they can do.
Yeah.
It is at nauseam. And so if you want, I'd like to address the Garmin situation.
I've got it queued up on my computer.
You do it? Okay. And you do too? Yes?
Whoever wants to do it, I don't care.
I'm pulling up the clips, but if you have them right
I
now,
I have
Mark,
it all queued up already. So,
wonderful. I think we ought to play the first one first, and that would be the one.
That's what I have queued up, so maybe he can queue up the second one. I've got the first one queued up.
Sounds like
a plan. Yeah. And then we'll go from there.
This is the one where we discussed what happened at the board meeting, right?
Right.
Okay, so it's about 5 minutes?
Yeah, it is. Okay,
good.
So,
right,
okay, hang on a second because I've got it in two different places here. all right, here we go. All right, so maybe give us a little background on before we hear the clip. So Garmin, this is on Carl Bott's radio show in the weekday on Thursday with Trish Walker, or not Walker, but
Trish Clark.
I'm sorry, I got too many Trishes going on in my brain. I got a client Trish Walker. I got all these Trishes.
Right.
So Trish Clark. On the Thursday show that she's usually on. And so what happened in this last Board of Supervisors meeting was Tim Garmin at the second half, I guess.
It was a budget meeting. And I think if we just play the clip, it's self-explanatory.
Okay. All right, here we go. Are we ready in there? Okay, let me make sure I got my sound up here before I hit the button. Okay, that should do it. Here we go.
And there's one thing to do,
you know,
the looks
that
on your face and all that, because everybody does that.
Well, you
but
can do
but
that
to actively do a political act during the Board of Supervisors meeting, that, you know, that's, I have not seen that.
Well, it was totally and completely inappropriate, and here's the article you're looking for.
From the doctor?
From Mr. Garmin from the Shasta County Republican Central Committee.
Yes.
Chair.
Okay. What? Have you got it right there?
I've got it right here.
Okay, we'll read part of it.
Well, okay, so
or just summarize or something.
Okay, so it basically says that all five members of the Board of Supervisors are Republicans at this time, mm-hmm. and one of the things that we have always maintained about Republicans and why they don't do as well as they should is because they eat their young.
See, I want to stop it just for a second to interject a comment. I don't think it's because the Republicans necessarily eat their young. This is why I disagree with Trish a little bit on this. What I think is that some people run as Republicans that aren't Republicans because you can't get elected in this county by saying you're a Democrat because it's like 68% conservative Republicans out there. So what they do is they lie about who they really are. They say they have Republican values, and they might even be a member of the Republican Party. But if Karl Marx says I'm a Republican and joins the Republican Party, is Karl Marx a Republican? Now, I'm using that as an extreme example, and I'm not trying to paint that onto Tim Gardner as much as I'm trying to say there's more to this than just the infighting between Republicans, because we've seen this over and over again in our years at doing this. So let me go ahead and keep playing. But that was one of the big things that caught my attention when I heard this.
And this is a perfect example of that party affiliation backlash that we cause in the thing. It says he attended the Republican dinner. He heard Representative Doug LaMalfa state President Reagan's 11th commandment. The 11th commandment was a phrase used by the president of Ronald Reagan. Thou shalt not speak ill of any fellow Republicans. What you have done is open the door for many within the Republican Party to call for your resignation from the party and from the office. It goes on to talk about all those reasons why you shouldn't do it. But he's an elected official. He was elected to do the job as a county supervisor. He can have his private thoughts as an individual, but not when he's sitting on the DA representing the people who elected him.
If he went in there and he had pro-life T-shirt on, what would have happened?
It's totally inappropriate.
I know, but if he had worn that T-shirt, there'd have been a lot of people screaming about that.
Yeah.
What do you think, Terry?
Well, I know, because I was there. I actually went over to Mike Mangus, and he and I walked over during the break to Tim Garman, and that's where Mike got his article from. And Mike and I were talking about it. I said, did you notice that Tim Garman was wearing a Kevin Cry T-shirt? He goes, what? I go, yeah, let's go over there. So we walked over there, and Mike took a picture of him, and he goes, I can't believe this. This is what Mike said. I've never seen something this inappropriate. I said, this is the budget meeting. And I asked Garman, I said, this is the budget meeting. You're wearing this shirt. No matter how you feel, it's fine. That's up to you. But the point is, this is the budget meeting. This is the people's business, and you're wearing a recall. One of the people you have to vote with today, you're wearing a T-shirt.
I think we should stop it there, Terry, and maybe start talking about that a little bit. Why is it inappropriate for...
Well, it explains it as you keep going.
Okay,
she'll even read the law in the second clip.
Okay,
it's a law.
Maybe I'll just play the whole clip all the way through.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, okay, here we go.
Well, I have my reasons, and I go, well, I don't know what those reasons are, but, you might want to explain them to me. I voted for you. I put signs up for you. And while I'm telling him this, another person from District 2 comes up and tells him he's been the biggest disappointment we have ever had in the district, because he ran on certain things, and then he turned around and voted the opposite way. Whether you agree with how he voted or didn't isn't the issue. Each time he voted, including the Dominion machine, I had talked to him 2 days prior to those votes. He told me he was going to vote the complete opposite way on 3 different items where he turned around and voted the way he voted. When we elect somebody and put money out and put signs up for somebody, for them to do these kinds of things like that, it's just so inappropriate. Trish is right. I've never seen anything like this. And Mike and I were just kind of going, man, we've been doing this for years, man, and we've never seen anything like that.
Well, the thing like this is, it's recall cry. But, my earlier statement, what if he had something up there wearing a shirt that says, life starts at conception? What do you think
apples and oranges, and here's why. That you're asking me my opinion. It's apples and oranges. You're talking about voting on the people's business, their money. You're talking about budget, a budget. And you're sitting there, and you're going to vote and discuss with your comrades up on the Board of Supervisors, and you're wearing a shirt to recall them. I mean, you're not wearing a shirt to not abort them. I mean, really and truly, one of the things David Bendis said to me, who's another piece of work, he said basically, here's the deal. What about Patrick Jones throwing fundraisers? I said, Patrick Jones didn't sell tickets during a budget meeting. I said, the whole point is that there is no justification for this. Dan Spone was correct in the letter he wrote. They had all agreed, as Republicans, that they wouldn't go after one another. They try to support each other. If they don't like something someone's doing, just keep your mouth shut. And here, Garman does that. Now, here's another bit of scuttlebutt, and I don't know if it's true or not, but I'll throw it out there to you.
Okay, wait a minute. When you say scuttlebutt, we don't know it's true, right?
That's exactly
so
right.
So this is just a rumor.
This is a rumor. But
okay.
It's a rumor, and that's exactly what I'm saying. This is a rumor I heard.
All right. So it may or may not be true.
may or may not be true.
I just want to make that real clear when people are
but
listening.
I think that somebody will substantiate it one way or another. So let's just throw it out there, because this is what's going around out there in the media. Basically, Tim Garman had called Mary Rickert to see if she was going to wear her T-shirt, her Kevin Kai T-shirt. She declined, but encouraged him to wear his. Just saying. So, I mean, the thing is that it's just, and when I asked her that, he goes, well, you know, I don't want to be bullied by these people. And I thought Kathy Darling Allen was bullied. I go, well, that's fine and dandy, but you felt that Kevin Kai bullied her, and so you're wearing a shirt to recall him as you do the people's business. That's not a distraction for anybody. I mean, seriously?
You know, Terry, the most important distinction you have made, each one of those members of that Board of Supervisors have a right to their personal opinion. And when they're acting as a private citizen, not as an elected official, they can do whatever they want to. But it is absolutely, totally inappropriate for a member of an elected board to sit on that dais as the representative and act in that manner.
Okay,
well,
Terry.
You're absolutely correct.
We've got to run.
100%.
We've got to run.
Well, one last thing, though, because I did hear the attorney. Okay?
Uh-huh.
I did hear the attorney told Mr. Garment to remove that shirt, that it wasn't a good idea for him to wear it.
Well,
at least turn that darn thing backwards.
Well, I mean, the
put
whole
a,
point
put
is,
a sports
what's
coat
the
over
point
it.
Of that?
Yeah.
All right, there we go. So let's unpack that a little bit as far as it's just so freaking surreal.
It is, you know, and I mean, you talk about political suicide. You see, the problem is he broke Section 38.2, which in the second clip here, that's a minute and a half, if you want to play that in a minute, that explains the law he broke. And Trish reads it on the air, and I think then maybe play that minute and a half clip and then
okay, yeah, we're talking about campaign activities, Chapter 38, I'm assuming government code, government of the state, California, miscellaneous.
So she reads
the whole thing.
She gives the synopsis and the numbers and stuff. But
right.
If we play that second clip,
okay.
Liam.
Go ahead, Liam.
Yeah, play that second clip and then weigh in, Mark. That'd be good.
Just referred to Section 38.2 is campaign activities of county officers and employees. County officers and employees are prohibited from engaging in campaign activities related to county elective offices within county-owned or county-leased premises.
Sure. Okay.
The term premises means a building or other, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, there is specifically a law that prohibits what Mr. Garman did yesterday. Chapter 38, campaign activities.
So, bottom line on this is chairman needs to point that nobody can do that, and probably Mr. Garman needs to be censured.
Yeah, he absolutely does. Yeah. This is the standard. You don't.
That's good. Yeah, I'm looking at it. It's Chapter 38.2, a section of the California Code, campaign activities of county officers and employees. And what she's saying is right. You can't really do that. You can't go up there and campaign or give your political position on one of your
not even on the property.
Right.
The egregious part of it is they're doing a budget meeting. That's the egregious
part.
Well,
that's actually 3.26.
That's right. There's another one.
Preparing campaign budgets.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
About preparing campaign disclosure statements. I mean,
Target rich, brother.
Yeah,
Target rich.
It's so egregious.
So anyway, you had some thoughts there.
Well, I mean, my thoughts are that, you know, Garmin isn't who he says he is. You got a commitment from him saying he was going to vote against the Dominion machines.
Yep.
Why is everybody so against going to a hand count? That's one of my things. I mean, it's like, this has turned into a big, huge deal.
Yeah.
Because we don't trust the machines, which there's so much evidence that they're not trustworthy. It's ridiculous. And then why did he turn to the dark side, so to speak, from what he said he was going to do and what he was, and this is out of the blue. All of a sudden he hates Cry.
Well, like you said, he didn't like the way that Kevin Kry bullied Kathy Darling Allen, and I didn't hear any bullying.
When did he do that?
Beast the hell out of me.
I don't know. I think everybody had a problem with Kathy on the issues of the voting. Yeah.
And the bullying side, I mean, what did he say? He asked her questions. I mean, if you now ask questions, you're bullying, you know? And what is it now? You can only say the N-word if you're...
Well, you know, and I'm going to go into that big time here because, you know, this whole N-word thing, was this really about racism or was this about control of the board? I mean, that's really what we're talking about because that puts Jones in a very unique position of does he circumvent someone's First Amendment right, okay, for a speech that is not appropriate, nobody likes, you know, and that's what the First Amendment is there to protect because you could do the same thing, you know. And I heard Liam say about historical content. Okay, well, when you call me a white supremacist, the historical content for me is that my ancestors fought to free the slaves on the Irish Brigade. And you're painting me as one of the slave owners or one of the people that condoned the slavery issue. You don't think that's fighting words for me? But I'm not saying that you should curb my free speech. I'm not saying you should curb anybody's free speech. What I'm saying is, where does it end? Okay, and he might not like the historical context of that word. Well, I don't like it when you call me a racist or a white racist because that's prejudice. That's racism in itself, and I've got definitions of the word. So where does it stop? Okay, so now here's Jones up there trying to make a decision on whether he takes the chance of curbing somebody's First Amendment rights, which is the law of the land, or offending somebody in the audience who is a known agitator, who has, there's a video out where the only people that can use that word are black. Who made that rule? Okay, so now we're going to have a guy that's in the audience who's got an axe to grind. Everybody knows that he's insulted everybody in the county one way or another over time. And anybody who wants to call in and verify that, you do so. This guy all of a sudden is offended by the word, which he's making songs with on his video programs? Really? No. And then he attacks Jones for not stopping the guy's First Amendment right. And so what's Jones supposed to do? Oh, I'm going to stop the First Amendment because Nathan over here is offended. Really? See, and who's going to start doing that? So we should start having the people that are offended running the law, right? We should start having the people that don't like words, they're the ones that now control the rules. They're the ones that now control the board, right? Because the real deal is they want to get rid of Jones because they want to go back to the 3-2 leftist agenda. Okay, that's why Garmin, they want a leftist agenda, teaming up with Mary Rickards. This is about control of the board, and they use these terms to weaponize their positions against people so that they try to discredit them, so that they can use that as political capital to discredit anything they're doing or saying. That's what this is really all about. It has nothing to do with the use of the word, because you can't sit there and throw that word around just because you're black anytime you feel like it and act like that word offends you and when you're calling everybody in sight that word that you know that's black. So now it's a black and white thing, right? So if you're black, you can choose which words everybody likes and which words everybody can use. And if you're white, you can't. Now, isn't that what racism is? Isn't that the content of your character, color your skin thing? Okay, so we should just listen to Nathan and his little crew of people tell us how we should behave, right?
Yeah, I mean, you nailed it, you know, and I talked to you earlier this morning, and you were nailing it already, because I do want to say something about Mark. When Mark does research, Mark does research, and like I talked to you, at 6:30, 7 o'clock this morning, and you were already on all this, and I know you were on it last night, and I think everything you said really is a tremendously good explanation of racism, and you absolutely nailed it. And you're right. I mean, all this stuff, we get into this touchy-feely stuff to a degree, and that sort of that really doesn't have anything to do basically with what happened here, because we're looking at law. Now,
I know, I guess I kind of went off the deep end a little bit, because this whole thing is...
No, you didn't. I think you're fine.
You know, well, I mean, we started out with Garmin, but, you know, the whole thing is about controlling the board.
Exactly right. Yeah. And here's the other thing, too. I mean, had Patrick interrupted him, he would have violated Title 18, Code Section 242
right.
of the United States Code. He would have broken the law because he would have tried to stop someone using his position to actually have the freedom of their constitutionally protected rights. So he had to let the guy finish anyway. And I think to a degree, he was kind of taken back with the word anyway. I think in the middle, I mean, you know, it was just sort of boom. He didn't expect that.
Well,
even out of this.
Okay, so let's give some context to the wording. So we got a guy up there who everybody kind of knows, if you've attended any meetings over any amount of time, knows that the guy is not all there. Okay? He's lost a few steps. There's a few marbles rolling around that are missing, all right? So we all know that, if you've attended the meeting. So, of course, he's up there, and he has the right to say what he's going to do, and that's great. And does anybody agree with him? Did anybody like what he had to say? Does anybody approve? Of course not. But he said it. He said, I'm not an N-word. He didn't call anybody that. He said, I'm not. Okay, so all of a sudden, here's something we can really use for some political capital. We better shut that guy's speech down, and then we'll go after the board here so that it makes him look bad because he didn't stop him from speaking, even though I'm wrapping it off every 5 minutes about what the word is. You know, me and my boys and all that stuff, right? Okay, so Bilecki says it, okay, and the context is this guy is not all there. So instead of just going off about racism and going off about the N-word, it would have just died down quietly. See, so when you weaponize that against somebody politically, what are you doing? Who's the oppressor here? Who's the one that's oppressing the free speech? Who's the one that's oppressing the person at the podium? Who's the one that's oppressing the political... And let's talk about the Constitution where it says all men are created equal. That's white supremacy? See, the real deal is, when you start picking and choosing, where does it end? And who gets to run it, and who gets to say which words are good and which words are bad? Somebody who's offended? Well, by gosh, if we use that as a litmus test, we'd all be offended all the time, and we might as well tape our frickin' mouth shut out there, because nobody could say anything. Oh, wow, that's good, isn't it? Hold on, I got something running here.
No, that's me, it's break time.
Oh, that's right, go ahead and play this, and we'll go out.
Pissed off an already pissed off woman.
81 million votes my ass.
Crossroads Auto Body Repair, still the best price in town. Working hard on your dents, dings, and complete paint jobs if your car is peeling or faded. Call for your free written estimate today. They've worked on thousands of vehicles over the years here in Reading, and they accept all insurance companies. Call 530-226-0992.
We'll do it right, and we'll do it fast. Let us get you back on the road again.
Crossroads, we're here to get you back out on the road.
Supervisor Kevin Cry will use scare tactics to try and prevent us from signing his recall petition. Cry claims you shouldn't sign because Newsom will appoint a Dem. Don't buy Cry's strategy of hiding behind Newsom to save his seat. This county will elect a fiscal conservative shortly after Cry is recalled for wasting millions by canceling voting machine contracts. Find out more. Go to recallkevincry.org. Paid for by the Committee to Recall Kevin Cry.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Give me life, keep me
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. A couple things I don't want to add to that. Okay, number one, you got to have values and morals and actually believe in something right and wrong in order for you not to fall into the trap these people care about what's true and what's not, because they don't. They, you know, whatever they're doing, if they call you a liar, they're probably lying. If they call you a thief, they're probably a thief. If they're calling you, saying that you're hiding records, they're probably hiding records. If they say that you're getting bribed, they're probably getting bribed. If they say you're destroying evidence, they're probably destroying evidence. If they say that you're circumventing someone's rights, they're probably doing it. These guys have they don't care what you think. All they care about is winning. It's the end justifies the means. That's what Marxists do. They don't care what you think. At least the people at the top, the rest are useful idiots that just go in lockstep with whatever they think is the word of the day. And, you know, the problem is that, they try to paint everybody as something that they are. You know, what did Bob Dylan say? He said, be careful you don't become what you say you hate the most. If you say that you hate racism, and you're becoming a racist by telling everybody they're white supremacists with absolutely no evidence. You know, when we talk about the Irish Brigade, look it up. There was only two other units that suffered more casualties in the Civil War helping free the blacks from the South. And when you call me a white supremacist, if you don't think those are fighting words, you say that the N-word's a fighting word. Well, I think calling me a white supremacist is a fighting word.
Well, especially when your family fought and died, as many people did. And when you go through and you look at the history of it, too. All right, so the Irish were some of the first people to be slaves. That's always left out.
Well, and this slavery thing has been around forever. See, this is a big political bunch of garbage. We're being attacked by people who never were slaves, who didn't know any people who were slaves, you know, who's saying that were the masters of the slave owners, I had nothing to do with it. So we're being guilt by association. Now, isn't that exactly what the definition of racism and prejudice is? Is when you're guilty with no evidence that there's anything there?
I'll go the next step. I'll end up talking about the Uyghur Muslims right now, who still exist to this day, that all these people that are buying solar panels, 90% of the solar panels that you're getting are directly produced from actual slaves today.
That's okay, because we want to have planet, green.
Hey, at least Greta Thunberg actually ended up graduating. She survived the climate catastrophe up to 20 years old. We never thought it was going to happen,
yeah,
folks.
She should have been dead. That's what happens when the seas rise to the point where everything floods over and you can't feed anybody. Wait a minute. That didn't happen. Discrimination. Here is from the dictionary what discrimination is. Treatment or consideration based on class or category, such as race or gender, rather than the individual merit, partiality, or prejudice. In other words, if you judge me as a white supremacist with absolutely no evidence, isn't that called discrimination? Isn't that called racism? But if a guy that's black does that, see, that was one of the things, and I think I'm going to play the clip from the meeting that this was my little speech, because I got tired of listening to these leftists get up there and try to hammer on Jones for something that he didn't do anything except protect the guy's freedom of or his First Amendment rights at the podium in deference to his own political issues. In other words, he thought the First Amendment was more important than somebody in the audience getting offended. And what they didn't talk about was why did he get removed? Because he was disrupting the room. Because he wouldn't stop. Because he kept yelling things. Bielecki was up there, got his 3 minutes, and he's gone. His First Amendment rights are all intact. Nobody thinks that was good. Nobody likes racism. But then you can now disrupt the room and use it and weaponize the word that somebody said who's not all there against the sitting chairman, right? That's how it works. And so you, with impunity, can say anything you want. Because you were offended. Well, if we use that as the litmus test in the rule book, see, what these guys don't want is equal rights. They want more rights. They want more rights than you have. They want you to not have any rights while they tell you what your rights are. And so, let's talk about the Constitution. Oh, it's an outdated document. Okay, it says all men are created equal. Can you improve upon that? What system are you going to improve upon it with? Marxism? The one that says the government has all the rights and tells everybody who's what their rights are? Yeah, that's worked out really well in the past. That's why there's a ton of dead people all over the place. Oh, they forgot to mention that in school. All right. So I'm going to play my clip, and then I'm going to go back to where I think this whole thing starts, because these people have been educated beyond their own intelligence. They've been educated by people who have an agenda. Okay, and most of the people that are hardcore went to college, went to school, went to leftist schools, whether it's Columbia or Stanford or whatever it is. And this has permeated most of the educational system. Because if you can turn people into thinking that freedom is slavery and slavery is freedom, guess what? They're easily controlled. And
of course.
Oh, that's how it works. So here's my little speech at the Board of Supervisors, and then we'll move on to the next. Are we ready? Here we go.
Not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. All right? What about white supremacists? Is that any less racist, calling somebody a white supremacist with no evidence behind that? Or do you guys get to say whatever you want, but we get to shut up and whenever you're... So if we disagree with you, then we're a white supremacist, we're whitey, we're fascists, we're Nazis, we're mixed, we're peckerwoods. See, so it's different for you, right? It's different. So in other words, you want a set of rules that favors one person
over the
other. You want a set of rules that says you get to say what you want, but the other ones don't. See, that's the problem, is that you guys don't want equal justice. You don't want equal justice. You want equality. I want equality of opportunity. You guys want equality. You want outcome. I can address any way I want to address. All right, so you guys want inclusiveness, but only what you've deemed as being inclusive. Yeah, see, so that's okay if we're white. You have no idea what my background is. You know, I'm a rich white supremacist who started out with nothing when his father died at 14 with a 67 Chevy and worked his way up to where he had something. I'm saying we should all have equal opportunity of opportunity, but not outcomes. You can't redistribute from everybody else to give to you. What you guys are doing is trying to circumvent the Constitution for your own political garbage. And Mr. Opportunist over here, Nathan Blaze, how many names does he have? We don't even know how many names. He spells his name different every time we turn around. Okay, Nathan Blaze is a professional victim. The guy who's up here giving the speech, everybody knows it's kind of not right all there. So all of a sudden, this is the opportunity to turn this into a racism thing, right? And if words bother a person so much that you can't handle them, then maybe you have bigger psychological problems. Well, then we're not talking about the Supreme Court. I'm talking about just you as a person. How do you know that my ancestor didn't fight to free you? Really? What? How do you know that my ancestors weren't in the Irish Brigade? How do you know that my ancestors weren't in the Irish
Brigade? And Mark, can you just address the board?
So in other words, no matter what happens to them is more important than anybody else. Right? That's how it works. Racism only works for one side of the colors, the scheme, right? No, in other words, you can't be a racist if you're black or brown or some other color, right? Some of the biggest racists I know are colored.
Thank you, Mr. Kent. Thank you.
So, who was the first slave owner in America? Who was the first slave holder in America? He was a black guy. Go look it up.
Mm-hmm. I believe his name was Andrew Johnson.
Remember his name. But what I'm saying is that all men are created equal. You don't get to pick and choose who you like to be created equal. All men are created equal. Try and prove it upon that. Try and prove upon that system where it says the government shall be restrained to not override your rights. Okay? Not when it's politically expedient, not when you don't like what the person has to say, not when you don't like or agree with the person, but everybody has the right to speak. That's why it's codified in the First Amendment. And that's the most important thing there, because speech, if is deemed hateful, can be silenced. And if you silence speech that's hateful that says, we want to be free, Or we don't want to go along with the government mandates of, oh, I don't know, getting a shot.
So here's what it says right here for Wikipedia, which...
Yeah, I'm reading it right now.
Up in the air. Anthony Johnson was an African-American man born in Angola who achieved wealth in early 17th century colony of Virginia. He was known for the fact that he was the first person to own a slave as recognized by Virginia courts. It is notable that he recognized himself as an African-American.
Isn't that interesting? So black people can't be racist either, or... Wait a minute. What if they're just jerks? What if he's just a slave owner? So the idea that this is a color scheme that can be isolated to one color or another is complete crap. So every race in the world prior to the Constitution had slaves. The Constitution was the first document that said, we want everybody to have equal rights. Now, it took them a while to get to it because you can't just change slave holding overnight. It took a few years. You can't just say everybody's equal, but we've got half the people down in the South owning slaves, so that's a problem, isn't it? So we should throw the document out that says, for the first time in history that all men are created equal, and adopt what? Government control of schools, government control of education, government control of the banking system, government control of all your rights? Oh, that's a better system, right? That's worked out well in the past, huh? No, not so much. In fact, there's millions of people that have died under that system, so let's adopt that system because it's expedient and makes us all feel better because we don't want to be offended.
That's basically what they're advocating for, it would seem.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're advocating for. Now, let's go to, here's the little thing I saw on PragerU this morning. And this is an ex-teacher, and this tells why she quit teaching. And I think this is the point that we got to hit, because these people have been educated with crap. They've been told garbage. They've been told that the Constitution is a suck document, and it's outdated, and all this other stupid crap. Okay, let me see. All men are created equal. Is that outdated? Endowed with inalienable rights by God, not government? That way only God can take them away and not government? Because once you give all your rights to government, guess who gets to take them away if they feel like it? Oh, we don't like your speech today. Oh, you're talking about racism. Oh, white supremacy. Oh, well, we'll just shut you down.
Well, and let's be honest, that's exactly what they're advocating for. I know
exactly.
I repeat myself on that, but you have these people that are saying constantly and continuously that it's a dead document. Why do we care what a piece of paper or a piece of parchment says? It just so happens that this is the longest-running constitution and government-led constitution.
Do you know what matters about this, and this is the biggest trouble they have? This is why patriots don't... It's not about what's written down on that piece of paper. It's what's in people's hearts.
Mm-hmm.
It's what's in people's hearts that count. That's why I think it was Sam Adams said that this document was made only for holy for a moral people. It wouldn't suffice anything else. So you got to start with yourself. When you're a liar, when you're a cheat, when you have problems like that, then you need to look fixing it yourself. You don't get to fix the document that says that we're all free. But that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to use the human as the model instead of using the principles as the model.
Well, and so here's some principles from the Pentagon. So this is from the Postmillennial as of June 10th. DOD Pride Chair claims drag shows are part of the American culture. Rudy Kortz, an operations research analyst for the Department of Defense and chair of the DOD Pride, claimed on Wednesday that drag shows are part of American culture in his opening statement as the host of DOD LGBTQ Pride.
Okay, here's the thing. It's a free country. You can feel and think whatever you want. I don't care if you're a drag queen or you're gay, you're lesbian. I don't care. But that what they don't think about or really think about your rights, I have the right to say I don't want my kids to be learning your stuff. I have the right to say that I don't want you teaching my kids your way of life. I have the right to say that you can do whatever you want, but leave me alone. See, that's not the rights they want. They want to shove their rights down your throat and overwrite the rights that you have.
Well, and this is article after article after article talking about exactly these same sorts of things, about all of these big companies that are pushing all of this down people's throats that don't want it.
Because what are they really pushing? What they're doing is they're pushing that all rights are contained in government bodies. All rights come from the government, not from God. And that's the big thing. And people get all caught up in the religious aspect of it. That's not even the importance of it. If you get your rights from government, whatever government gives you, government can take it away. If they say that they like this set of people one week, and then the next set of people the next week, well, that's what these people don't understand, is that you might be in favoritism this week, but you might be, you know, your guys might be out of power next week.
Well, this is exactly the point that I made a couple of weeks ago. These people who are being trained to be revolutionaries, being trained to tear down a system, are the very first people who are going to be on the lines for the chopping block.
I agree.
They're not going to be some kumbaya, you've overthrown the
well,
country.
Well, historically, if historical precedence is correct, and it happens again in that particular manner, like it did in the past, the first thing that they do is they eliminate the intellectuals, the educated, the people who want stuff, and the people who are going to stand in their way and say, you guys got to follow the law. Because what happens is when you go to the dictatorship, they are the law. They tell everybody what they want. They tell everybody, shut up, get back to work. It doesn't matter what you want. It doesn't matter because you don't have any rights anymore, because when they talk about rights all the way up into the point where they get complete power, and then they tell you, go pound sand, shut up. And if you don't want to go up against the wall, you'll do what you're told.
Exactly. Time and time again.
Yeah. We have a caller. Are you on the line there, Stones?
Yeah, there's always a delay on cell phone. Yeah, Morning.
What you got?
So a couple items, the Tim Garman T-shirt gate issue, and then the freedom of speech. So on T-shirt gate, Government Code 8207, sure looks like he violated that. I'm not a lawyer, but I pretend to be one sometimes. It's a civil violation only, $1,000 per incident, but somebody has to bring that civil action to court in order to invoke that law. Not likely to happen, but the Board of Supervisors, can you say censure? The Board of Supervisors should issue a censure to Mr. Garman on multiple accounts, not just that government code, unprofessionalism, several aspects. He should be issued a public censure, and I think that's absolutely appropriate in this matter. Although the naysayers are going to say, oh, whatever, right? They're going to say we're overreacting. Absolutely not. Any comments on that before I go over to the next?
No, you know, I think we've pretty much covered it. I don't know what else we could say other than I think that, you know, this is about controlling the board more than it is about anything else. And somehow or another, Tim Garman either lied about who he was before he got there or somehow got changed when he was there for some reason.
Yeah, allegedly the board code of conduct is going to come back for review. That policy that talks about no offensive language, that policy is unconstitutional.
Right.
It needs to be voided. If they want to bring it back, they need to bring up a motion to void that portion of the policy. When old Moldy brought that in, yeah, you remember when Moldy brought that new policy?
Well, my understanding is that those policies aren't really law, and those policies aren't in effect. They're going to revisit them, but they never put them into place.
It's only a policy, but if they try to enforce the policy, now somebody suffers injury. So how about we get rid of an unconstitutional policy before it makes it into a court of law?
Well, you know, freedom's messy, and a lot of people don't like that, but freedom is messy, but the alternative is worse.
And then the second point on the freedom of speech, right? These people are totalitarian. They want to impose their will upon us. And the second item is freedom of speech, compelled speech is also part of that, right? You may not compel speech. And so what happens is our government schools, again, they're compelling speech on the employees for the kids, gender bending, whatever the hell they want to call it, for the hour, for the day. So not only is the freedom of speech allow speech, but it also protects compelling speech. So that's the other side of the coin that needs to be remembered.
Well, you know, and that's a good point, and I want to play this PragerU's, because what they're doing is they're not just compelling speech, they're lying people about to what the truth is. You know, they're saying this is the only way things can be, and so what they're doing is they're telling, you know, like for gender, there's no such thing as a woman or a man, there's no such thing as a boy or a girl. Well, that's a lie. That's an absolute...
So the government, correct. And remember, the Bill of Rights restrict the government's actions against the citizens. Very important to remember. Very important to remember. Other citizens, if they don't like what Mr. Bilecki said, he can be publicly shunned, socially shunned, et cetera, right? The
right.
citizens can react against a citizen for offensive speech. The government may not.
That's right, because
and that
because if you
the school
because
the
if you
have government
because if you hand that power to the government, then what the government can do is shut down any speech or anybody who's their opponent. And we're kind of seeing a little bit of that censorship right now in a one-sided justice system that is going after their political opponents because they don't like the fact that they might get them out of power.
It was amazing when I watched a few minutes of that board meeting when Patrick Jones, as soon as he mentioned the Constitution and the First Amendment, those people were like, oh, boo.
Yeah, they don't care about your rights.
That kind of blew me away. But again, I guess I should not have been surprised, but that kind of did surprise me that there's so many ignorant people in this county that step on the Constitution for feelings and emotions. Remember, feelings and emotions have no place in a constitutional republic.
Well, because
that's
what,
all I have.
Oh, cool. Thanks. Thanks for calling in, Rich. You know, the real deal is that these guys are educated beyond their own intelligence, and they've been told a bowl of lies, you know. And in the meantime, we're talking about this stuff. Does anybody think that the President of the United States getting bribed by foreign countries and governments, is that important? Or is it more important, you know, to talk about all the crap that's going on with these racist arguments?
Kind of seems to be important. Just a little bit.
Yeah, I mean the fact that they've now got evidence confirmed by the FBI from a highly credible source in the FBI who's been giving them information for 10 or 15 years or whatever it is, saying that they've got actual proof. They've got proof that they took at least $10 million of bribes from the Ukrainian government and the Chinese government, and that our president's compromised. That's not a big deal because we won't run that story, will we?
Well, on this from the Washington Examiner as of June 10th, Donald Trump indicted. Trump says Biden bribe claims planned for the same day as charges. Former President Donald Trump complained on Saturday that his federal indictment taking place on the same day that the White House Republicans secured access to an FBI document alleging President Joe Biden's involvement in a criminal bribery scheme. Now, what's interesting to me about this is that this is the same crap we saw with the Russian collusion. This is the same crap that we see taking place all across the
world. So they have been targeting Trump for whatever reason, whether they don't think he could be controlled, they don't like his politics, staying in power, take your pick, for how many years? And it's all, everyone is rolled off. But what they're trying to do is discredit him. And you know something, it's like this article from the Record Searchlight. You know, they paint me as I'm a right-wing activist in support of Jones. You don't know what I am. You don't know what I am. Okay? You have no idea. I'm not even a Republican, idiots. You know, so the real deal is, if I had to say a label, I'm a constitutionalist. I believe that the Constitution should be upheld as it is intended. I believe that the Constitution ensures our rights, but that we have to step up to the plate to defend them because it's just a document. And if you don't have those rights in your heart and you're so full of Marxist tenets that you don't even know what ends up and you don't understand freedom, liberty or any of that, and all you care about is, you know, getting what you want now, then what happens is that if we don't stop that sooner or later, nobody gets what they want because you end up with no production, you end up with the government controlling everything, you end up with a poverty-stricken nation. Gee, does that look like something we're having around out there right now, like in California, because we've been following all this Marxist crap? Gee, does it look like everybody's way of life is starting to erode into a big mass of homelessness?
Well, and this is
the news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. A new poll suggests a majority of American voters disapprove of former President Trump's indictment.
That number, according to a Rasmussen Report survey,
finds 54% of likely U.S. voters think the federal action is bad for America, compared with 35% who think it's good for the country. 11% responded not sure. Former White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer thinks Mr. Trump did well to not focus on his own legal woes when he spoke after last week's court appearance.
Yes, he talked a little bit about his situation, but then he pivoted and talked about what's at stake in the election and why this is important.
Spicer explains that voters want a candidate who will champion their own concerns.
People are hiring you to solve their problems, to make a community safer and better, a country safer, better, stronger.
John Spicer speaking with Salem Radio. George Williams reporting.
Florida Senator Marco Republican, Rubio, says federal prosecutors should have used their lawful discretion to avoid indicting the former president in the first place.
So no damage to national interest. On the other hand, there is significant damage already from bringing this indictment. This is already a polarized and divided country. And now we have this, and now we'll have attacks on the DOJ, attacks on the FBI, attacks on the judge.
Senator Rubio interviewed by the Salem Radio Network. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is spending the next 2 days in China. There he is meeting with Chinese Foreign Minister Qi Gang in hopes that they can simmer down the exploding tensions between the U.S. and China that have many other countries around the world nervous. Despite his presence in the Chinese capital, prospects for big breakthroughs on this trip are rather slim, according to experts. And British officials say Russia and Ukraine are suffering high numbers of casualties now as Ukraine launches its counteroffensive. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. And in the process, started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. The crazy thing is, this never ends. Even when you die, your family's now going to be stuck with this burden. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. If we take you as a client, I guarantee we'll cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call for your free information kit. 800-626-5252. That's 800-626-5252. 800-626-5252.
Federal prosecutors want Elizabeth Holmes to pay $250 each month to victims of her failed blood testing startup after she leaves prison.
U.S. District Judge Edward Davila ordered Holmes and her former partner Ramesh Balwani to pay $452 million in restitution to victims last month. But her attorneys are pushing back, citing, quote, limited financial resources available to the disgraced founder of Theranos. Federal prosecutors argue that Holmes should be required to pay at least $250 each month in criminal monetary penalties upon supervised release.
Correspondent Jeremy House, Indian officials say at least 96 people have died in two of the country's most populous states over the last several days, with swaths of the country reeling from scorching heat. The death toll comes as authorities are warning residents over 60 to be extra careful. News and analysis at townhall.com. Some scary mail in Kansas.
Officials say letters containing suspicious white powder have been sent to lawmakers and other officials across the state. The Kansas Bureau of Investigation says no injuries have been reported among the 30 letters delivered thus far. Authorities say the letters each contain a return address of either Kansas City, Kansas, or Topeka. The investigation continues. Jason Walker reporting.
Today is Sunday, June the 18th. It's the 169th day of 2023. This is also Father's Day. On this date in history, 1812, the War of 1812 got underway as the U.S. declared war on Britain. On this date in 1815, Napoleon met his final defeat at Waterloo. And on this date in 1971, Southwest Airlines began operations with flights between Dallas and San Antonio and Houston. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Welcome back to the second hour of Sovereign Mind Radio. We were talking over the break, and I got to bring this up. I think Liam had a great point in what he's saying. This is all about division. This is what Marxist, what totalitarianism is, collectivism. In order to get everybody divided, so you know the old divide and conquer thing has been going on for millennia. Is that they got to keep everybody fighting amongst themselves, and that's really what this is about. And I'm saying that you have to recognize where the division's coming from in order to stop it, because we all should be on the same page. I'm for freedom of speech for everyone. Even if it's offensive, I'm for, you know, all the freedoms that are codified in the Constitution and the amendments. I'm for that for everybody, okay? But you got to understand what's going on in order, because you can't target individuals or target races or target groups. And that's what's happening, is groups are being targeted solely for the purpose of dividing everybody from the real purpose of our government, which would be to make the best life possible for the people, of getting out of the way and letting them, you know, produce and do things that are good. But you got to have people that understand how that works. You can't depend on the government for your livelihood, to give you everything, to redistribute wealth, because at some point in time the production goes so down the tube that everybody's suffering. So we've got to make sure that we're not dividing everybody. We've got to unite against the real problem here, which is overreaching government and out of control running everybody's lives. Is that good?
Yeah, it's pretty well said.
All right, very good. So I do want to bring up, before we get to our clip here, the events for the Beef Initiative. We had a caller call in. The Northern California Beef Initiative, and that's going to be at Draper Road, Cottonwood, 19490 Draper Road, Cottonwood, and that's Saturday, June 17th, from 9 a.m. to 6:30, and this is the Beef Initiative. This is down at Duvenvorden Farms. I always like to say that, Duvenvorden, and it makes me...
Duvenvorden.
I don't know why that does that. It's crazy. So I'm screwed up. So we want that, so everybody starts looking at the local economy for farm to table, nutrition and regenerative ranching, so that we're sustainable. I know it's kind of like a bad word in these days, but yeah, of course we want sustainability. What we don't want is a UN climate agenda that's telling us what sustainability is based on the fact that we give control over to a world governing authority.
What we don't want is we don't want the America's largest farm owner, Bill Gates, to be
in control of everything.
Eat their plant-based meats. Have you seen the price of meats? Have you seen what they're doing now?
The price of everything.
Oh yeah, and the culling of the cows and the cattle and the chickens.
That
and everything
goes
else.
To. And I'm going to do some segments this week. I'm trying to put together a segment. You know, the cause of this problem. If you look at one of the first things the Marxists say they have to have. You know, Karl Marx said if he could sum up the whole Communist Manifesto into one sentence, he'd say the abolition of private property. Everything else behind that backs it, because private property is directly related to freedom. And the best way to get rid of everybody's property is have the government control the currency supply, because they'll just keep printing it and devaluing it to where everybody's poverty or standard of living goes down and down, and you can't afford to buy any property. That's what it's really all about. So that's part of the manifesto. Go look it up, you know. And these manifesto, the Communist Manifesto, is so systematically giving more and more control of the of our rights to the government to control the people in the hands of the few. They call that a dictatorship or an oligarchy, but it always ends badly for the people down at the bottom. So anyway, that's Northern California Beef Initiative. There's a micro summit that's on Saturday, June 17th. At Duven Borden Farms down there in Cottonwood. You can go online to beefinitiative.com and get your tickets and get down there and get involved with, you know, your food supply. That's kind of good because where I was going is, you know, historically, the first thing that the communist regimes do is they kill the food supply so that everybody starves, because when you're hungry, you're a little more controllable. You tend to, like, do what you're told better than if you're, you know, full and you're not depending on someone else for your sustenance.
Even recently, historically, what we've seen is they demonize the farmers, and they say, oh, those farmers. I mean, we're watching them take place right over in Africa.
Netherlands.
Right now.
They're trying to take the farms away from the Netherlands farmers, who, by the way, is the second biggest producer in the world. Look it up.
Well, and this was very, very recently. You had the white farmers in Africa who were kicked off their land.
This is South Africa.
South Africa.
Yeah, right, right.
Stolen land, then at that point. And a lot of these people were killed in their homes, wives, children, everything else, in the name of reclaiming the stolen land. And now everybody's starving because the farmers are dead and gone. Weird.
Anyway, let's play this clip from PragerU. I want to get this out there because I think it's important. And then we've got so many things to cover, you know, like targeting the Liberty Moms. I mean, now the Southern
Poverty Law.
Thank you. Thank you. Has targeted them as a hate group. Really? Are you kidding me? Here we go. More division. But here, this is PragerU, and this is, I think, the core, at least one of the cores. Here we go.
Question. Why would a teacher who loves teaching quit her job? Answer. When her job is no longer about teaching. For 15 years, I taught ESL, English as a Second Language, to middle and high school students. The last 5 years were at public schools in Salinas, California. Salinas has suffered for a long time with a gang problem. Students are just as likely to fall victim to the temptations of gang life as they are to graduate from high school. If that sounds like a challenge, it was exactly the challenge I was looking for. It's why I became an educator, to help put kids, especially teenagers, on a good path in life. And that's what I tried to do. I taught my students that if they worked hard and accepted responsibility for their actions, they would succeed. That their race didn't define them, that they should respect the police, that there are only two sexes, that communism leads to misery. But in the last few years, they were hearing something different in their other classes, that their race was their destiny, that the police were out to get them, that their sexual identity is a personal choice, that socialism is compassionate, communism isn't so bad, and capitalism is cruel. Many of my students, especially the ones who had recently come to America, rejected these depressing lessons. They knew what they had fled. They wanted to embrace their new country and its values. But other students completely bought into it. I needed to know why. So I dove into the school's ethnic studies curriculum, the source of so many toxic ideas. I found classroom activities such as a privilege quiz, where students would compare and contrast their gender, race, class, and sexual orientation with those of their classmates. I found another exercise, which involved conducting a mock trial to charge various persons implicated in genocide against Native Californians in order to create a social justice counter-narrative. None of this should be surprising, because the guiding principle of the curriculum was to critique white supremacy, racism, anti-blackness, patriarchy, capitalism, and other forms of power and oppression. And in case you think this is just one school, passing an ethnic studies class will soon be mandatory for high school graduation throughout the state of California. And it doesn't stop at students. Teachers who reject these radical ideas, especially teachers with the wrong skin color, risk being labeled racist or white supremacist, putting their jobs and careers on the line. In June 2020, I addressed the Salinas School Board. I told them that allowing critical race theory and Black Lives Matter indoctrination in the classroom is unbalanced, too political, and will only do harm. In response, the board president, a professor of ethnic studies at a local college, called me anti-people of color. I am people of color. I have to make it. In fact, before the board meeting, the district had sent me a gift just for being black, a mask bearing the message, Black Educators Matter, an I Love Being Black sticker, and an African greeting that acknowledged the God in me. An obsession with race and gender has taken root in our educational system. It's the weed that's rapidly overtaking the garden. What can we do to get rid of it? First, advocate for academic transparency. Demand that your school district's lessons and materials be made accessible online so you can see what your child is being taught. That may not protect you from an individual woke teacher, principal, or school board, but it will make them all think twice before adding radical material into the curriculum. Second, be vocal. Express your concerns. Pay attention. If you come across lessons you don't like, make your dissatisfaction known. Let the teacher know, let the principal know, and if necessary, let the school board know. Speaking of school boards, consider getting on one yourself. This is the time for action. Third, take an active role in your child's education. Don't send your kids to public school and expect everything to turn out fine. Supplement their studies with lessons that counter the indoctrination they might be getting in school. Look into other options, such as private or charter schools that share your values. Or, if you can do it, homeschool. It's easier than you think. I will always be an educator. I don't think there's a more important job. My goals as a teacher are the same as they were 15 years ago. It's the goals of the public educational system that have changed. That's why I can no longer be a part of it. I'm Collie Fontanilla, founder of Exodus Institute for Prager University. Thank you for watching this video. To keep PragerU videos free, please consider making a tax-deductible donation.
All right, very good. I think that was very good. And I said, and I think she said what needed to be said about hitting it on the head. What they're doing is indoctrinating the kids, but they're not giving any counter arguments. If you want to teach about communism, then you need to teach about communism and freedom. You need to teach about, you know, our Constitution and the Bill of Rights and what's codified in that and how they fought against totalitarianism and dictatorship in order to get these freedoms that we hold dear now. And these people want to use the freedoms that we have in order to circumvent their own freedom. Isn't that crazy?
Well, it's the war of the words, too, because what you notice is that they're constantly saying capitalism. They're constantly pushing this in our schools, and that is from Marx's works. That is from the Communist Manifesto. That is the way that they speak of it in those terms. The actual terms for it is the free markets, and the
right.
free markets are what we espouse to have.
Right.
Right now, we do have crony capitalism.
Absolutely.
Under their words in the way they're speaking. It's why you have companies like Target that now are pursuing their ESG and DEI scores that now, as of the 8th, have lost $13 billion. Why you have Budweiser also pursuing their DEI and ESG
scores. See, the elitists don't want competition. They don't want free markets. They want capitalism all in their hands. They want the, you know, that's not capitalism. That's totalitarianism. And so what we want is free markets. And J.P. Morgan probably said it best when they asked him if he liked competition. And he said, oh, I love competition. Very little of it. And that's what we're talking about, is that you have to have a marketplace that promotes competition so that you have more goods and services at a cheaper price so everybody's standard of living goes up. When you start redistributing everything, what happens is the marketplace starts to die off because people don't have any incentive to create and make better products and to introduce innovation into the marketplace. So what happens is the goods and services start to get more expensive and less of. Geez, does that sound like what we got going out there right now? Just saying, because when you go through, their whole tenets is to get the hands of all the capital and all the property rights into the hands of the few so they can control the many. That's what we're really headed towards. And that's what they really want. And they act with, they give all these high-minded virtual signals of, oh, this, we don't want racism. And, oh, you don't love people if you're not pro LGBTQ, whatever. No. Just, you don't have to. You can do whatever you want. But that doesn't mean you get to circumvent all my freedoms and rights in the process. But that's what they want.
One, this gets to the heart of the question right now that we're seeing in this culture war. So, for instance, this happened this week. You have Call of Duty is now in the next Bud Light hot seat because there was a person who, his name was Nick Merckx. He had an operator bundle from the FaZe team, and he was being featured as part of one of these operator bundles on the Call of Duty platform. Now, some of you guys who follow me, you know that I stream Call of Duty. I do some of these other things on our free time.
Right.
Well, we haven't done that since then because, as we're seeing right now, even from the comments right now, the top third comment on this is "We stand with Nick." People uninstalling the game. Why do you guys think that sexualizing children is acceptable? What it was is all he said is leave children alone.
Right.
That's all he said.
See, but that's why the censorship and that's why this whole thing this last week is important as far as this racist comment is because what they really want to do is censor people. And that is because where does it end? This headline, and then we'll get to you in a second, Laurie. Southern Poverty Law Center, a hate group labeled Moms for Liberty as extremists. See, what they do is they label hate speech as anybody that they don't want to hear. And that's what this whole thing is about. You by association, become hateful. And you know, again, haters going to hate, so you don't want to hear them, right? No, that's not how it works. If you shut down everybody's hate speech, what you're doing is shutting down the speech of the opponents of the people that are in power. That's really what's going on.
To them, what it comes down to is hate speech is any speech that they hate.
They don't like. That's so, right. So they're always labeling everybody as haters. And again, we go back to, be careful you don't become what you say you hate the most. Because if you're being called a hater by somebody who hates you, do the math.
Well, so this gets back to the other question again. So my wife, first generation Hispanic here in the country, and she was a product of rape. And she is extremely anti-abortion based upon the fact that her grandmother wanted her dead. And so that's her premise for it, and that's my understanding of why I am so anti-abortion now, too, because had that succeeded, I wouldn't have my wife, I wouldn't have my two children, they wouldn't have their future.
You know, I think life is something that should be, what's the word I'm looking for? Something
valued?
Valued, absolutely. Something that should be even more than valued. It should be something that should be cared about, should be nurtured, I wish I had, could think of the word I'm thinking of. It's better than value because that's important. The sanctity of life is cherished. There's a good word. The sanctity of life is so important, but you can't say on one side that the sanctity of life is okay over here, but then over here it's not because we've decided that this isn't life. This is just a mass of cells. So anyway, let's go to our caller here. Let's get to Laurie. She's been waiting for
just
a while.
Just one second. So the last thing that I wanted to say on that was, they constantly call her coconut, brown on the outside, white on the inside. They call her all of these racial slurs.
Actually, that one's pretty funny, actually.
But herein lies the thing. You've got all of these racial slurs, and they...
Better than an Oreo cookie, I guess, you know.
Well, that's another thing. I've got a bunch of friends who are black, and that's exactly what they call them, Oreos. And so this is exactly what we see from them. If we disagree with you, or if you are taking the whole fascist narrative, because, once again, anything that's not what I'm saying, you're fascist, or you're right-wing.
Right.
And I don't go by right-wing anymore. I say I'm right so far. Go on.
Okay, very good. Let's go to Laurie. How you doing, Laurie? What's up? What do you got?
Good morning, you guys. You mind if I stand in to be your sister Linda for right now as a heavy lifting?
Well, you got a few minutes here, so give us what you got. We got a bunch of other stuff I want to cover, so I don't want to get too hung up.
Totally on the whole Board of Supervisor issue. It has definitely been weaponized for a long, long time. It's just escalating. I want to give a shout-out to John Knight. He was at the podium twice.
I gotta go back and watch it because I haven't had an opportunity to go back and see that. You wouldn't happen to have the timestamp on that, would you?
Timestamp for Becky Stetson, who stood there at the podium for the longest time with the recall shirt on. Yeah, that's called staging Becky Stetson, teacher, at the 2 hour 46 minute point 40 second. Repeat, 2 hour.
Yeah, I got that. When does John come on? After her?
John was two speakers before that, and then I think he spoke one more time.
Okay.
Because I take notes, even though I'm being flipped the bird by you-know-who and you-know-who. I'm trying to do my work.
I think you let him get to you too much, Laurie, and I understand why it bothers you, because he's insulted everybody in the county.
No, but when they threaten a lawsuit all the time, it's not funny.
Well, I get it. It's not funny, but the guy's a clown. You know,
he is, and he's not funny. He's not a funny clown. So yeah, Pack of Wolves. He was teasing Mr. Bilecki on May 16th, Word Salad. Then the N word came out on May 30th. Then June 6th, we have this big crowd of rude individuals that we've never seen before. Hello, we've been at the board meeting for almost 3 years.
So he was needling Bilecki prior to the speech.
Yes, I brought that up in my comments.
That totally makes sense because that's his modus operandi is to try to get someone to attack him. You know,
and then he plays the victim.
That's why he's a professional victim.
Agree, Mark, and that's why I got a little bit of hissing because I dared bring up the fact that this individual started to excoriate Mr. Bilecki, who we already know, okay, you know what? What do we do with mentally challenged people, mentally unbalanced people? They have the right to speak, I guess.
Well, what you do is you don't take everything they say to heart, and you don't weaponize everything they say because they're not all there.
That's right.
What you should have is pity. You should have pity for them, not use that as an attack weapon.
I know.
Weapon.
Just let them go. Like, oh my God, there. But the grace of God, go. You know, whatever. Just don't. Make it worse, but they have to because this is what they do.
Well, this was an attack on Jones. This was a purposeful attack on Jones for obvious reasons. You know, he's not a racist. But he also is pro-constitution, so you can't say, hey, I got to circumvent this guy's rights to kowtow to this guy who's offended. It's ridiculous. So of course, they're going to use that as any kind of pride or leverage that they can in order to discredit Jones.
Yep. Well, in closing, last thing I want to say, Mark, is pay attention, folks. If you are physically at these meetings or watching online, be very conscientious of who's standing near the podium where the speakers line up and who's sitting at that corner in the aisle, those two seats, the camera catches it. And who do you think sat there? Yes, those two. Those two that gave me the middle finger. You don't think I want to make a gigantic life-size poster of these people? Their conduct is horrendous, hideous. I never engage with them. I don't. Nothing.
Well, here's the thing. He has no credibility, and here's why. Okay. A big thing with me was, okay, when you walk by me and you go, "Hell, Satan," in the middle of the boardroom, that kind of, you know, if you either believe that you either worship Satan or you're just trying to give me a shock effect, and either way makes you sort of marginally. But let's ask him some questions. Are you a member of Antifa? If not, why were you in the chop zone? You know, did you support Black Lives Matter? When they were burning across the country and rioting? When you start asking him some questions and making him defend himself, what you find out is that all of those are true. There's pictures of it. It's all documented. Bragging about setting fires along I-5. Oh, he's just a comedian. Okay, but if you're a comedian bragging about setting fires and you're a member of Black Lives Matter or Antifa, maybe your jokes aren't very funny to a lot of people. So either way, your credibility has gone right out the frickin' window as far as I'm concerned. But the hell Satan was the last thing. And this guy will lie about anything and everything. If he thinks being nice to you will work and get your confidence to use it against you later, he will.
He's done it to Les Baugh. He did it to Tim Garman. He did it to Patrick Jones. So why did he go to the middle of the room at the chambers and apparently shake his hand? I'm hearing he did.
Later on he comes over and says, well, if you'd apologize personally, no, right. Not nothing. No, you can't apologize to these people about anything because they don't, you know, it's just another way to try to control you.
Yep, I gotcha. I totally agree that this is absolutely insanity and it's not funny, but they benefit from the First Amendment and so do I. And if I want to say I'm being a funny person or sarcastic or I'm teasing or I'm playing, how are you going to know?
Hey, some clowns aren't funny, you know?
No, some clowns are not funny.
Yeah.
That's true.
Listen,
all right, thanks for taking my call, honey.
All right, thanks, Lori.
All right, bye, Mark.
All right, very good. All right, so, like I say, let's get back to some of the stories that should be mainstream news. This Hunter Biden, Joe Biden bribery thing. You know, and a reporter asked Joe Biden, it's coming out whether they like it or not, you know, about the evidence on the FBI file. He says, he blurts out, well, where's the money then? Oh, and then he says, it's malarkey. Well, where's the money?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if we can't prove it and we can't find the money because you're a snake in the grass that's got more LLCs all over the world than, Carter's got pills and, you're pretty good at hiding the money, then it's malarkey?
Basically. That's the way that we've been seeing it over the years now. I mean, how long have the FBI had the Hunter Biden laptop? How long have we known about money for the big guy? They were actively suppressing the story, and now we have this new news that definitively shows that he's corrupt, that he directly took money in corruption scandals. And yet, the same day as that story comes out, all of a sudden, Trump gets indicted. Oh, okay, that's interesting. Now, mind you, a lot of these judges that have been talking to Trump on these things, they want a gag order on all this. They want him not to be able to campaign on this or speak on it. So we are actively seeing
suppression of a guy's rights in order. And that's all this is about, you know, and they've done this over and over and over again. And in the meantime, you know, this last week or so, if you go to Freedom Headlines, and I'll put the if you're interested, I'll see if I can get this in the chat room or on Facebook or someplace. Hunter Biden's laptop archives were all published, all of it, and on a new website. And you can go to this website and what's the website here? I've got it. I'm looking for it here.
While you find that, so I have this story from June 11th. Scientists working at Wuhan Institute of Virology alongside Chinese military were combining world's most deadly coronaviruses to create mutant strain capable of sparking a pandemic just before COVID outbreak began.
It's at BidenLaptopMedia.com if anybody wants to go look it up. So and we want to go there because, and I've got some digital currency stuff, but the point is that I was going to make about this whole Biden story is that, you know, he said at one point he was proud of his son. Well, go look at the laptop for a while. I started getting nauseous after a few scrolls through the photos. You're proud of this guy? The guy's a frickin'
smartest guy he knows.
Smartest guy he knows. Anyway, I guess we got to go to a break, and then we'll come back and talk to Terry.
I don't know where to go to. Why don't you go where fashion sits? Putting on the ribbons. Different types who wear a day coat. Pants with stripes and cutaway coat. Perfect fit. Putting on the ribs. Dress up like a $1 million trooper. Trying hard to look like Gary Cooper. Come, let's mix. We're Rockefellers. Walk the sticks. We're umbrellas in the mix. Putting on the ribs. Have you seen the well-to-do up and down Park Avenue on that famous thoroughfare? With their noses in the air, high hats and arrow collars, white stacks and lots of dollars, spending every dime.
Hi, this is Cindy at Laux Landscape Supply, located at the intersection of Dersch, Turn Creek, and Airport Road. We are your one-stop shop for everything in your yard. We have all the small rental equipment like the stand-on mini skid steers to get you through those walk-through gates, or Beretto trenchers on tracks are quick and easy to operate, and the popular vibroplates for compaction of pathways or prepping for under artificial turf. Make your job easy with the powered wheelbarrow on tracks. And of course, we have all the products to make your yard the envy of the neighborhood, including all the soils, sands, gravels, sod, pavers, retaining wall blocks, and multiple size trucks to deliver with no minimum, making your delivery the most cost-effective way to get your job done. So whatever your project, big or small, come check out Laux Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dersch, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. Find us on the web at LauxLandscapeSupply.com or give us a call at 530-378-2220. Laux Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
Why did you switch to Dish?
Everything was going okay with DirecTV.
But our bill was out of control. We saved $280.
$270.
$300. Like, holy
savings.
Hey, guys, this is Doug Tooley with B&T Satellite, your authorized Dish retail. We've been offering holy savings like these since 1999. Being local, we listen to your needs in the TV entertainment, and we give you the best that we can. At B&T Satellite, we've saved some of our customers $600 to $1,200. Per year, and these prices are locked in for 2 years. Skip the 800 number waiting on hold for long periods of time. Call 241-3474. That's 241-DISH. And if you already have Dish, call us and we'll help you find great ways to upgrade and save money in the years to come.
Yep.
Why do you tell me a fool?
pretty sure we're back.
We're back. Yeah. Listen, I want to let everybody know I posted on Facebook and on the chat room, and you need to watch the great, this is called The Plandemic 3, The Great Awakening. It's a documentary. I watch it. Watch it by yourself. Soak it all up. It's absolutely spot on, well documented, and has G. Edward Griffith in it. And I'll tell you what, this is some of the clips from 40 years ago, and it's kind of eerie. But you need to get you need to watch it, and you need to get your friends and your family to watch it, and anybody you know. All right, let's go to our caller. Terry, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I just want to tell you real quick. First of all, great program, brother. Great program.
Thanks, Terry.
But the other thing is, the other thing is, the left has one MO, and this is the elephant in the room. If you believe the lie, it becomes the truth. So if you believe the lie, it now becomes the truth. And that's exactly what they're trying to do.
Well, that's how they work, you know. It's like Hitler said, if you can tell, or maybe it was Goebbels, said, if you tell a big enough lie long enough, then pretty soon people believe it. It doesn't, I don't think it becomes the truth, but people believe it.
Well,
it becomes in their mind, it becomes the truth.
Correct.
And I know you and I dealt with this one time when we were talking with someone on an interview and they asked us, well, what's your truth? And then,
yeah.
I think you remember that.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, what's your truth? Well, no, there's just the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anyway, I just wanted to kind of leave it at that. And good show. You know, you're really nailing it. And I think that we have to get the government out of our lives, and that's just the bottom line of all of this.
Well, that's why you want.
Have a great day, gentlemen.
Thanks, Terry. That's why we had a program set up with limited government. The government's supposed to protect your rights, protect you from foreign countries and invasions. It's not supposed to micromanage and social engineer everything that everybody does, because the government that governs least governs best, and that's why we have prospered to the extent that you can't even cover that up in the economic classes. Because, you know, before that, people were lighting candles and had oil lamps to have lights by to read at night. You know, when you had a revolution in products and services after 1776, because all of a sudden people had the ability to keep their labor. All of a sudden they were free and in charge of their own lives and themselves, and not somebody was siphoning every bit of everything they ever made off of them. Prior to that, there was no system other than the feudal system, kings, nobles, and serfs. The kings owned everything. They told everybody what to do. So that's why it's so important to preserve our freedom at this point, because going backwards is not going to get good, and it's going to be ugly. And we can kind of see the rearing of its ugly head already in places that are adopting these government top-down oligarchies.
Well, and this is exactly what we're seeing. We're seeing that they want to go back. The whole goal of ESG right now is they don't care about these boycotts so much as they do about the money. So the ESG and the DEI scores are directly built into these CEOs' salaries and their bonuses,
right,
and the things of that nature.
See, this isn't progressive. This is regressive. Let's call it right away. It really is. We're going back to where the people, the few, rule over the many.
These companies are the oligarchy. Where can you go that's not Costco, Walmart, Amazon? Really, where can you go?
Well, again,
to get a lot of
JP Morgan, I like competition, but very little of it. And so what they try to do is consolidate these monopolies. But these monopolies aren't free markets, and especially if they're being supplemented by the government, or you've got a system that prints money out of thin air and lends it to their friends at zero. See, that's why the central bank and the Communist Manifesto is so important. It gives you the ability to control all the property, to control all the means of production, to control everybody's rights, because you buy off the politicians, you buy off the factories, you buy all the banks. You fund everybody and your friends that's in league with you from a philosophical standpoint of what government is. And so what you end up with is, again, the wealthy controlling everybody else, just like back in the old days.
Well, and we are seeing a change in this country that is good. And I know that doesn't sound like
Well, the Great Awakening, I think, is actually happening to a degree.
So this article as of June 9th, social conservatism reaches highest rate in a decade. The newly released Gallup survey also found that fewer people reported taking liberal positions on social issues. A survey found 38% of Americans said that they are conservative or very conservative on social issues, a 5% increase from 2022. Last time 38% of the population identified as conservative or very conservative was since 2012 and then since 2000. The greatest number of people who identified as conservative or very conservative, 42%, was in 2009.
Right.
Now, I mean, we're starting to see this turn and come back around,
right.
And we're seeing this in all the comments
I'll tell you why. Social media and the mainstream media is getting circumvented by all these other little outlets that are coming out and telling the truth. That's why free speech is so important, because, you know, people, if they don't know what the alternatives are, have to go along with the program. But when you understand what the alternatives are, so I can have freedom and I can have a good life, and, you know, as long as I work hard and take accountability for myself, then, you know, everybody gets a better lifestyle.
Well, and so here's the other side of this coin. Twitter is huge right now, and it's so important that we have these free speech platforms.
I agree.
So you look at, for instance, TikTok. I've been banned off TikTok now twice.
Yeah, because they don't want free speech. They want their speech.
Exactly. So the most recent time, after they ended up doing it, I was like, why am I even bothering with this? I'm going to stream on Rumble. Stream on the places that are – I'm going to be on Twitter.
Haters going to hate.
I'm no longer going to keep pushing my time and interest and my money.
That's why we went to these platforms that they can't be controlled, whether it's Rumble or you know, whatever the digital radio stations and so forth. And that's why we're gravitating over there, because the platforms aren't censoring everybody.
So this is the thing too. So on TikTok, for instance, numerous times I was up to 15,000 followers. As soon as you get big, they end up giving you the axe.
Well, look what happened to Joe Rogan, and I can name a bunch of different people, you know, and why is Tucker Carlson moving over to Twitter? You know, I mean, it's getting interesting. I want to shift gears here, because I want to get this out there before we run out of time. Okay, and this is a little video titled The Future of Money, States Adopting Gold and Silver as Currency. And I think this is a little primer. It comes from ATMEX. This is probably one of the biggest metals dealers in the country. And the reason that this is important is because you have to understand that the money situation takes the control out of the hands of the central government, if you understand it. And, and then you won't be as in line. You know, when the digital currency gets here in July, which is where they're planning the rollout, if they make it so that everything else is illegal, because under the Constitution it says that the states, under Article 1, Section 10, 1, Clause 1 of the Constitution, it says that the states have the ability to have only legal tenders, gold and silver. So they can't have a national currency, but they can create gold and silver legal tender that can be used in their specific states. So let's listen to this, and it's very interesting. And this is titled The Future of Money, States Adopting Gold and Silver as Currency.
Gold is new again. Today we're picking up where we left off after our previous episode about CBDCs and how gold and silver are playing a part. And we're covering in more depth a growing trend among states once more adopting gold and silver as currency to combat the threats that CBDCs pose. And that currency status on metals has some amazing benefits for investors and stackers, so stay tuned. Okay, we've mentioned a couple of times in our videos that several states have adopted gold and silver as legal tender, and that more are introducing measures to do so. Even the states that are not introducing their own measures to legalize gold and silver as a currency are starting to look at ways of making owning metals easier anyway. And because of the legislation that has passed, there are some unique products that are beginning to flourish in the marketplace that we're going to briefly touch on. So first, let's talk about currency real quick. No state can issue fiat currency being any currency that is backed by nothing but a guarantee, like the U.S. dollar is. But the U.S. Constitution, Article 1, Section 10, gives states the right to turn gold and silver into legal tender. It says, no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts. As we said in our last video, a coin can be a bar, certificate, round or shaped object, just has to have a face value. So even though they're normally round and we think of them as circular, it doesn't actually have to be round to be a coin. This opens states up to issuing silver or gold as a local currency in many formats. Now, there are benefits beyond being able to transact in gold and silver. When it's adopted as legal tender, capital gains taxes on sales of bullion disappear. And more than that, many of the states adopting measures are also eliminating sales tax, making it even more affordable to own metals. And while currently there are 11 states that accept gold and silver as legal tender, there are another 12 states that are on the path towards the same. Some states are starting to explore even more interesting concepts that will continue to support the bullish trend we're seeing for metals. One of the most interesting aspects of this movement is the potential creation of state depositories. When successful, these depositories will require physical precious metals to be held by the state to support a gold or silver-backed currency. Missouri's SB 100 is one of the most interesting bills being considered this year. Not only does it recognize gold and silver as currency, strip away sales and capital gains taxes, and provide for a depository, but it goes a step further in recognizing monetary freedom. The bill would require the state treasury to accept gold and silver as payment of state taxes,
I'm down.
Prohibits state agencies from confiscating gold and silver, and attempts to write into law that digital currency cannot be made compulsory for consumers. The confiscation piece is a nice nod to history when Roosevelt confiscated all gold in 1933. The bill had its third reading on May 11th in the House after the Senate passed it in February. This year is a big year for CBDCs. And while some states are sleeping on it, we think it's likely they'll begin to perk up when the U.S. government rolls out its own CBDC, which is expected in July of this year.
Central bank digital currency.
One interesting trend that the marketplace of ideas has spawned comes out of the first state to legalize gold and silver as currency this century. I'm talking about Utah, where they really paved the way for other states to follow suit. And after they did, a product called the Utah Goldback popped up. And this is a fascinating product. The Goldback is made of real gold and is similar in size and shape to the U.S. dollar. It's a gold note with the largest denomination containing 1/20th of an ounce of gold and the smallest containing 1/1000th of an ounce of gold. It has a very encouraging rate of adoption. In 3 years, the number of goldbacks produced increased by over 4,800%. The goldback is accepted in 4 states, and the company producing them advertises that as much as half of small businesses are willing to accept them as payment. We're going to do a deeper dive on this product in another video. We're going to cover the pros and cons and the impact it's having. But for this video, we really just wanted to highlight its success. The goldback was introduced in 2019 and has grown from about $500,000 worth produced in a quarter to over $60 million worth produced in a quarter. The demand appears to be there for a gold-backed currency when it's done right. The fact that this has no official backing from governments, is completely voluntary, and is growing like a weed is a very bullish indicator for bringing back gold as a currency. There are many people who will accept it and adopt it when they are offered the choice. We think it's important to highlight this is a great example of free markets at work. And this was really enabled by Utah taking the shackles off gold and silver in 2011, which paved the way for enterprising individuals to bring sound money back. Given the fact exactly zero fiat currencies have stood the test of time, they have literally all failed, we're encouraged to see that states are using their constitutional rights to enable gold and silver to succeed again. As more and more bills are introduced and hopefully passed swiftly, we expect the bullish trend to maintain support and even grow. Look out for our next video when we review the goldback, its mechanics, its features, investment potential, and gorgeous artwork. We'll talk more about what's driving its adoption and what might be holding it back and how that could affect state strategies moving forward in a CBDC world. Thanks for watching. Please like, subscribe, or share with a friend, and we'll see you next time.
tying right into that, I've got a couple of stories. So the Fed circumvented the bank, the debt ceiling from to borrow billions from failed banks. Now, there was, just before the debt ceiling had passed, there was a three-day bond that was issued. And it was issued for a total of $25 billion at about 1.8%, over 3 days on $25 billion. You cannot print money like that out of thin air.
Well, this whole thing's going to explode because when the interest on the debt that needs to be paid is more than the budget for the military, guess what starts to happen? You have to start cutting back on everything. So the end result of this is going to be we pay all of our money to a group of private bankers that are issuing currency with no backing and charging interest on it, called the Federal Reserve note, instead of we could at least go to United States notes and we'd be better off without any interest. But what happens is that they end up confiscating everything through this system, through this scheme. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is the currency fails. Does it look like the currency is failing out there right now? In other words, are prices going up to the point where maybe nobody can afford things after a while? That's called the fiat. And when the fiat currency collapses, now you have a big, huge economic problem. And this problem has been worldwide because all the world central banks that are issuing all these fiat currencies are all connected to our dollars through the Bretton Woods system. You can look all this stuff up. But what it means is that you're now looking at a worldwide economic freaking collapse.
Well, and they're not trying to make it any better. You see that OPEC just recently said they're going to end up cutting production and that, oh, it's not going to affect the prices at the pump for up to about the next 2 years, except, oh, look at the prices at the pump. They're already raised.
Everything's going up, and it's going to continue to go up because there's no backing, and you can't have – see, that's one of the – people don't understand. The reason that you have gold and silver as currency or money is because you can't counterfeit it. It holds the government accountable to not just spending everything on anything. And that's the problem with the fiat currency. Well, look what they do. They're spending more than, what are we up to? How many trillions on the budget? What is this going to be in the quadrillions before it collapses?
Well, on all these bills, too, they give them, what, a week to read a 2,000-page bill and then vote on it?
They're all on the same page. They don't care as long as they get their little deal and it doesn't collapse on their watch.
These lobbyist groups are writing all of these bills for all of these congressmen and senators to all vote on, and they're all these groups,
and you know
all
how
they're nice to have.
And you know how we know that we got a uniparty up there? Nobody ever brings this up. Why doesn't anybody on the floor of the House bring up the fact that, hey, this fiat currency thing, it's kind of a problem, you know, when we've got a private bank counterfeiting our money and charging us interest on our own money, and they're doing nothing except, printing it in order to get it, while we counterfeit the treasuries to sell to them to counterfeit the money to, sort of collapse the house that we built back in 1776.
One for those thinking this isn't about control. Here's an article, once again from TimCast, on June 7th. World Health Organization expanding vaccine passport program globally. The World Health Organization, WHO, and the European Union Commission have partnered with and established a global vaccine passport system to track individuals and allow authorities to better manage travel restrictions in the event of a future health crisis.
Do you know what my question is? Where are these guys getting all their money? Gee, it couldn't be a central bank that's printing it out of thin air and funding the guys that are, instrumental in making this collapse happen so that they can, not let a good crisis go to waste, but a big, huge, out of control crisis go to waste so that they have to step in and save us, and then we can, sort of regroup and retool the government so that, we can't let this happen again. So we got to consolidate all the power, out of the people's hands and that whole freedom thing, that's the thing of the past. We need to re-engineer all this stuff so that, maybe we'll put some chips in you or something, and then everybody gets on the same page.
Well, so here's another thought for you, too. So the Sean Ryan show about 2 weeks ago had a gentleman who was on, and he was discussing grid down type situation and discussing about how it's already known, well known in leaked documentation that China's very first act would be to start taking out our power grid. A lot of the capacitors and things like that are on our grid are all from China, and they need to be replaced from China because we don't make them here. Now, he had actually gone on to detail that if just 9 of these essential power stations went down, there would be a nationwide blackout lasting 18 months with 80% of the population dead. Now, I bring up all of that revisionist history from so long ago, 2 weeks back, to now talk on June 10th, over 10,000 single Chinese men have been detained at the U.S. border from October to now.
Well, nothing to see here. I think we should just eat bugs.
Also, RT-4s, which are basically the American equivalent of the RPG rocket launchers that we sent over to Ukraine that now somehow just happen to be in the hands of the cartels that work closely with China.
Well, that's because
nothing to see here.
That's because we have Bidenstine in charge, and Bidenstine, you know, he's doing a great job up there. That's why we're in good shape all across the board, right?
Well, and it's
not that he would get paid from foreign governments to do their bidding and their policy implemented. And you know, what's interesting is you go back on some of these bribes, they were like during the Obama era. You know, what's interesting is that the policy changes that were made, like in the Ukraine, could only have been made by Obama, interestingly enough. Who's running the White House? Well, it could be Xi Jinping. Whatever you say his name.
President Xi, he's so inclusive.
Is it Xi? Xi? Is it Xi or Xi?
Pretty sure it's pronounced Xi.
I don't think it's Xi.
I'm going to call him Xi.
I don't care. All right. So I'm going to go through some headlines. We've got 5 minutes left here. Here's some headlines that we can chew on for this week. 13 nations agreed to convert to green farming methods that will reduce the food supply. What are these guys, brainiacs? Okay, I guess that's for global stuff. Jamie Foxx was hospitalized this week, and an unidentified source says that he was paralyzed by the COVID vaccine. Okay, we got pathologist who was exposed to COVID vaccine deaths through autopsies, has died suddenly. Accidental discovery of DNA in Pfizer and Moderna vaccine raises new questions. We got the Great Awakening. Tucker Carlson's now on Twitter. Things
100 million views.
Are things changing?
I think they are.
I think things are changing.
Well, so here's this too. I want to get this out there.
Well, hold on. I'm going to get this one, and then I'll let you have it because we got 5 minutes. This American depositors pull $472 billion out of banks in 3 months, shattering a 39-year record.
Wow.
Something going on out there?
Kind of seems like it.
Kind of.
So I have this from June 9th from Bleeping Computer. Sounds about right. Dark web sites selling alleged Western weapons sent to Ukraine. So dark web listings. Keela found gun listings supposedly posted by Ukrainians on several dark net markets. Some specialized in firearms. One of them is Thief, which has a total of 9 listings with Ukraine offered from vendors. The first vendor, weapons listed, rifles, grenades, bulletproof vests, and price ranges between $1,100 and $36,000, promising delivery of the territory from the delivery territory of Ukraine. While no users have left a review on the particular store, 32 completed a purchase, according to Marketplace Stats. Another vendor Thief is Big Discounts on Weapons, which offered U.S. supplies Javelin ATGM anti-tank missiles for $30,000. Now, mind you, we can't make and produce those weapons for that much money. It costs $80,000 for us to produce that weapon, and another $100,000 for the missile, at least. And we don't have enough of them. But we can turn around and buy them back, I guess, off the black market for a third of the price of what we make them for.
Hey, that's capitalism, man. What are you talking about? What's wrong with you? What you talking about, Willis?
Unbelievable.
Okay, so here's another. World Health Organization wants to simulate to ensure pandemic treaty is effective. Well, we're waiting for Plandemic 2.0 here. But I want to get to this story here. All right, this is, I think, and you're going to see more about this in the next few weeks. Cleveland reported 27 juveniles were missing over a 2-week period in May. And then we've got Instagram, owned by Meta, Facebook, promoted massive pedophile network.
Yep.
Isn't that interesting? Wow, what's going on over there? We've got Jeffrey Epstein tied to a bunch of bankers. And I guess Mel Gibson's got something coming out here in another week or two, so the word is on the street that they're going to start lambasting Mel Gibson because he's obviously a drunk racist hater that might know something about a pedophile network in Hollywood or something. I don't know.
There are jokes dating back through South Park about all of this crap. It's well known. Weinstein was well known. All of this is well known. You have that hot mic moment from the ABC reporter that was pissed off because she wasn't able to release the story on Epstein. All of this network, all of this crap is exactly what they're talking about.
You know, what's really funny is that if you go look at the laptop, it seems like there's some underage girls in there, and then there's references to somebody named Pedo Pete, and I don't know, human trafficking thing on the border. At least none of this could all be related to anything, could it?
California has their priorities right. California bill would redefine California fertility.
Can you say that with a straight face? California has their priorities
right. To give men access to pregnancy treatments. So they want to have surrogates for all these gay men.
Wow.
New
bill. I guess we got to go. Wow. Remember, government is not reason, it is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and fearful master. And we'll see you next week.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.